This is a pre-recorded version of the WTKA Roundtable on WTKA, unsurprisingly, 9 o'clock Thursdays. It is pre-recorded, however, so if you call in, no one will answer.
GoBlog Roundtable. No Sam today. Sam dealing with some family things. He's fine, but he'll be back tomorrow. But we do have Brian Cook. We have Craig Ross. We have Seth Fisher. And guys, before we even jump into basketball, I do want to say, Seth, terrific, terrific job last Saturday. The roast of bacon was epic. It was awesome. I think Bruce is still going, but otherwise, it was a terrific night.
Yeah, man, I just want to thank everybody who came out again, like all the and all the roasters, like at least the ones I could hear. I'm still not quite sure what your roast was.
Man, never leave the sound checks to the non-audio people. I don't know what that lady was doing. But okay,
I knew it. We were all in the green room beforehand, and like, you know, they're like, okay, just lean back from your mic, and it'll be fine. And I'm like, wait. Okay, no, I'm not in charge here. I guess I'm not doing this.
I shouldn't have listened. Never should listen. But that's over. It was fun. We had a great time, and now here we are. A lot to get to here on the show. And before we get into basketball stuff, yeah. Seth, I wanted to follow up on the you posted, was it a tweet yesterday? Because Illinois, all this nonsensical whining about the Big Ten championship, but you said that Minnesota hockey actually has a beef. About if they should, is that a legit? I'm just curious because it actually made sense to me that in basketball or in football you base things on winning percentage, but in hockey, wins, loss, ties, it's on points. It's not wins.
It's a little ridiculous that the Big Ten decided to do win percentage instead of points percentage, like every other hockey league did. But it's like they agreed on it. So like in the end, it's whatever you agreed on. So they agreed on it, and then they played the games, and that was the end. So, I mean, it's not like they have a huge beef. I was just stirring the pot a little bit.
It was really just to mess with Illinois because, and I love the fact that Illinois' AD got caught with the hypocrisy because he actually voted like 2 weeks ago that they should keep it, you know, as is.
So, I mean, I want them to hang a banner. Don't we all want them to hang the banner?
I think it'd be fun. I brought this up. You ever hear that the Washington Mystics, when they moved to their new arena downtown and they created the WNBA team, they look up, Georgetown's got banners, the Bullets have banners, the Caps have banners, and the Mystics are like, we need something up there. So they put up a attendance record. We led the league in attendance banner, and that's what they did. And that reminded me of what Illinois said. They're going to hang something to the rafters of the State Farm Center. That's what it kind of reminded me of, was the Mystics attendance banner, because they just want to raise something up there. I didn't realize Illinois had been that long since they had actually had a chance to raise something up. So that is what it is. I like listening to them whine. They're fun to listen to whine.
Yeah, I mean, Michigan fans are going to want to go to that place afterwards just to point at the banner and be like, look, they actually did it.
Be a tourist attraction. All right, let's get to the games last week. You guys were on with us before the back-to-back games against Michigan State. So, Craig, we'll start with you. Your takeaways from the two games against Michigan State, the win at home, and then, of course, the loss up there on Sunday.
Well, before we get to that, if I could do this just really briefly, I got this card. Here it is from the University of Michigan. And I thought, okay, I'm old. I'm finally going to get my vaccination, which I've been waiting to get. I open it up. It has nothing to do with vaccination. It's a study for a stimulation to improve memory. And then underlined, and this isn't like, you know, this is underlined by ink, in ink. Someone says, must have a diagnosis of mild cognitive impairment or dementia. That's what, and someone underlined that and then put in quotation marks with an arrow that says, the memory of a goldfish. Now, someone said that to me last week. I don't know who it was, but someone on this show said, I have a memory of a goldfish. So I'm always impressed that anyone, or not amazed that anyone listens to this show, but apparently people do, and they even decide they can troll me and make fun of me with like random postcards for medical tests. All right, what were we talking about?
You are beloved, Craig. You are beloved in this community. Yeah. To be completely fair, mild cognitive impairment is a pretty good description.
Yeah, there could be some truth to that. Okay, so maybe it's all accurate. But anyway, the MSU games, I don't know what to think about these games. I mean, the game number one, where I had, 28 points? I think that was it, 64 to 38 or worse than that. And 64 to 36 with about 5 minutes to go, and Juwan pulled the plug on the game. And it really wasn't a close game. It was sort of what we thought the differences between the two schools or the two programs really are. I thought Franz, once again, was the best player on the court. And he broke, I mean, the truth is that Eli kept us in early when we were a little bit scrambly, and he sort of stabilized the situation, and then Franz just took over this game early in the second half, I thought, and blew it out. So, and then you go to the second game, and Eli gets hurt in the first 5 minutes, and all of a sudden we really just don't look like the same team at all. And so Juwan pointed out post press conference, and I didn't know this, but I think Brian mentioned it on the blog, that Eli leads the Big Ten in plus minus. Now, I don't know what, you know, how valuable a stat plus minus is, but it's probably has some big picture value, and Michigan sure looked like a different team without Eli, as they did back in the Minnesota game. I mean, that's sort of the broad brush beyond a few other things. You know, getting Rob Riley in the second game didn't help. But.
Well, so also you've got this situation where Rocket Watts is going 7-11 in the mid-range, and that's not like floaters, right? Those are like off the dribble 15 to 18 first, every one of them. Yeah. And so in the first game, you know, Michigan State's 10 of 31 in the mid-range.
Yeah.
And they shoot 50% in the mid-range in the second game. And that's just one of those things that can happen because they have some good mid-range shooters. But if you replay those games 6, 7, 8 times, that's going to happen once, right? And we just happened to get the one time it happened, and Michigan didn't play well. Like, you know, Michigan shot the same amount percent at the rim that Michigan State shot on 18 footers. And that's a recipe for a loss. And is it something like the Illinois game, where the Illinois game, you know, I think there's a recipe there that Michigan has difficulty dealing with. But this is not like a fluke. Like, this is Michigan not hitting shots and Michigan State hitting shots, and the end.
Yeah, Michigan has the best two-point defense in the country. And the reason they have the best two-point defense in the country is they force teams to take those long twos. Well, if they're going to make those long twos and we're going to miss shots, like, you know, we generate good shots and they don't make them, and they're Rocket Watts has been terrible all year, and all of a sudden he's making those long twos. That's what we want them to do. We want them to be taking those shots. Like, we want Josh Langford to have the ball taking the shot and attempted a dagger, because he's, what, 23% on the year? And he makes it.
No.
So, like,
no, Langford is close to a 40% three-point shot.
Yeah. Okay.
So Watts is a guy who's shooting something like 26% inside the line. So, like, remember that game against Minnesota where Isaiah Washington was just hitting 18 footers on us? Like, it was that. Just, yeah, the guy who doesn't do that doing that. There's not really a way around that. You can't. Sometimes you just, the bar eats you, right? So I'm not too bothered by it. It's a disappointing missed opportunity to, like, keep Michigan State out of the tournament, but I don't think it really means much going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I felt that with Watts, I mean, Watts is sort of a mystery. He was really a good high school player, and he was a really good shooter in high school. And I felt like in this game, his first two shots were cold misses. He just bricked them off the back rim. They hit the front rim. They hit the bank board. They went in. And so, I mean, he bricked his first two shots, and you could see all of a sudden he just sort of gained some confidence. Okay, this is my day. And he really played well. I mean, you have to give him credit, because he did kill us in this game. And so, but I felt like there were so many things. It was, I mean, it, we lost the game. We're minus 11 at the free throw line, and we biffed the front end of one and ones down the stretch. So we blow leave four points on the table there. We miss an and one, so we leave 5 points on the table at the free throw line, which was disappointing. And then I don't, maybe you guys understand this. For some reason, when we cut it to, I think it was 59-61 with not a lot of time left in the second game, we go into zone, and somehow there's some miscommunication or something, and we let Langford take an uncontested three, and that uncontested three is really the game. At that point, it's over.
Yeah, I didn't really understand that, because in the first game, you know, they brought out the zone a couple of times, and Michigan State was able to get cross matches when that zone collapsed to man. So you have Mike Smith guarding Aaron Henry, and Aaron Henry gets the bucket twice on that and scores easily. There was a third one where he was cross matched on Eli Brooks, and Franz was able to rake it out, but that was looking like it was going to be a good shot too. So it doesn't seem like the zone really works against this team because of that specific mismatch. And then they actually brought it out late for three or four possessions, like critical possessions. And they got a couple of stops in there. They got a couple turnovers. And then that one was just, I mean, it was just a pass from one guy in the perimeter to the other guy in the perimeter and wide open three. It's just like, I mean, those are some of the costs you pay when you want to be multiple.
And yeah.
I don't think I would have been running zone there, but you know, I'm not the coach of the year in the Big Ten. So what do I know?
Speaking of coach of the year in the Big Ten, and certainly he's deserving. You know, the Big Ten likes to do these sort of hyphenated awards of the year, the so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so coach of the year. And two of them I didn't see, even though I saw the outcomes. You know, one was the Tom Izzo pointless moaning and whining coach of the year, which Izzo won, even though...
What? That's Brad Underwood. It's Brad Underwood. Brad Underwood wins that one this year.
No, hands down. And then there's the Bob Knight possibly seriously deranged coach of the year, which was unanimous this year with Fran McCaffrey. But those, you know, those awards somehow didn't make the media.
Can we talk about how insane it is that Franz Wagner did not make the all defense team?
Oh my goodness. Oh my.
What on earth? Michigan has the best defense in the league. Franz Wagner has the best defensive win shares, which is not like a comprehensive stat, but these, even if you're looking at these stats and saying like, okay, the way we're going to do this is we're just going to look at the shiny numbers and make a decision, he's got the best stats in the league. And then you just watch him play and his crazy Gumby arms are deflecting everything out of bounds. And I know the coaches played this guy, and I know every single one of them hated playing against Franz Wagner. And so they're picking guys from like the number 8 and number 9 defenses in the league. Get out of here. There's a reason that Richard Pitino is about to get fired, and it's because he didn't vote for Franz Wagner.
Well, you know, that's true. I mean, Michigan is the number 5 defensive team in the country. We're the Michigan's the number 1 defensive team in the conference, and by some margin. And yet they don't. I don't think they had a single guy on the all defensive team.
Not one.
I mean, how can that be? I mean, it would be like having an award, like Woody Allen says, for greatest fascist dictators and leaving Hitler off the list. I mean,
is that entirely necessary?
Probably not. Never mind. But this is mind numbing that somehow.
This is going to blow your mind, Craig.
Yeah.
Is that, somebody tweeted this at us. 5 of the last 7 years, the top defense in the conference has not had anyone on the all defense team.
Really?
Yeah.
So they're just not paying attention. So these awards.
And this isn't the media. This is the coaches. Like they have to scout. They literally scout everybody in the league.
Wouldn't it be kind of simple? Like, all right, if nothing else, who are the 5 guys that I scout the most, that I'm worried about the most on the defensive end, and just write them down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? Like, it wouldn't be that hard. I don't think you'd come up with the list that you came up with And I don't think, and this is a Maryland guy speaking, I don't think you'd come up with Darryl Morcell as the defensive player of the year. I don't know how that happened. He's a fine player, but I don't know how he's a defensive player of the year in the league.
So the guy who tweeted that to us is David Lechta, who I want to give a shout out to because he also like handed me my best joke for the bacon roast. So but that guy, he also sent us a tweet from Max Boltman, which is, every conspiracy theory you have about postseason award voters is true. And my conspiracy theory on this one is they just don't like Franz Wagner. Like, he complains about every call, and like...
Everybody complains about every call.
Sure, but I think that the coaches don't like him specifically. I think that he inherited that thing from Mo, where like anyone who's not a fan of Michigan just despises that guy.
And duly noted, Robert messaged in to Craig to stop quoting Woody Allen. And I think we'll take that one to heart there, Craig. All right, guys. So we're now beyond the awards and all that. We're now leading into the games that technically the Big Ten tournament started yesterday with. I hope none of you guys watched that Minnesota-Northwestern game, because that was...
I did.
And your eyes aren't bleeding or whatever?
I thought it was a really interesting game because I... partly because John Beilein picked Minnesota to win the game, and then at halftime said that no Northwestern would win. So
they were up 14. So
it was 37-23 at half, and at 16-2, Mastrnak was around, and I picked Northwestern to win down 16-2, and then made the mistake of gloating when Northwestern was up by 7 with 2 minutes to go and managed not to score another point in the game. I thought it was an interesting game.
Let's spend more time on this game between the number 12 and number 13 teams in the league.
I was really trying to move forward. I was just making a joke about how bad the game was, and Craig here is trying to sell the worst game of the Big Ten season. That's okay.
Northwestern fans are just like, I'm so glad this season is over. Like, I don't have to watch this team anymore. Except for that whole team is coming back, including Collins. So, guess what?
Maybe they should make a... All right, we're moving on from Northwestern. Their season's over. So, the games start today, obviously, 11:30. The first game is the game that Michigan fans are going to focus the most on, because Michigan plays the winner of the Michigan State-Maryland game. And I'll first ask you the question Sam's been asking all the guests this week, which is, which do you prefer? Do you prefer Michigan to play Michigan State, or do you prefer Michigan to play Maryland?
Maryland. I mean, that's pretty clear, right? The two games against Maryland were huge blowouts, except for the fact that Maryland was unconscious from three in the first half of the first game. So they clearly have matchup issues. And Chandy Brown is a guy who really does match up well against all the wings that Maryland puts on the floor. So not having Eli, which I assume is going to be the case for this whole tournament, feels less bad against the Terrapins.
What about you guys?
Absolutely agree. I mean, for those reasons, one, I'd rather have Maryland win than Michigan State win, just as an abstraction. And I think Michigan matches up better against Maryland. And who wants to play the same team in a row three times, almost regardless of who it is?
And it's interesting you say that, Craig, because you guys are the first spat this morning, and then you guys are the first ones to say Maryland. Most people, because... As Michigan fans, they just want the revenge from the last game. The last time you played Michigan State, you lost them. You want to play them again and beat them. Some Michigan fans want to, you know, stick it to Izzo with being the team that beats them. So most people have actually said Michigan State and not Maryland. I generally plead the fifth because I have an actual rooting interest in the game. But it's interesting that you guys came straight out and said Maryland for the logical reasons that no one else gave. What about you, Seth?
I mean, I just want Michigan State to lose because there's still a chance they miss the tourney even after beating Michigan. So
keep that alive. No. They're in. Don't even contemplate that.
I know. Seth, I took that one step further because it would be kind of funny. Brian, you're right. They're going to get in. But say they did get embarrassed today by Maryland, which I would not predict to happen. But if that did happen, Izzo's already said they're going to stay in Indianapolis until they get whatever they're done, and they'll stay for their assignment because they're going to stay through the tournament. Well, what if you get told to stay because you're already there and then you don't get in? You are the wrong side of the bubble. And Sunday night at 7:00, you're leaving to go back to Michigan State, East Lansing. That would be epic of funny, and I'm here for that. So it won't happen, but I would be here to watch it.
I mean, like, every live conspiracy, the whole thing. It's true. And it's plausible that they look at the Big Ten and say, you know what, we just can't have this many teams from the same conference. Let's just drop one. Which one do we drop? Eight, pretty obvious. So who knows? It's plausible. But I also just want to play Maryland because I'm pretty confident Michigan can trash them. And I don't care about a rubber match against Michigan State. Like, we played two games and it was a Michigan hockey weekend, right? Like, if you aggregate those two games out.
Score everything on aggregate.
I get what you guys are saying. And I understand the fan perspective of, and it will not happen this way either, but to line up Michigan State tomorrow, Minnesota Saturday, Illinois Sunday, the three teams that you last played when and they beat you, you could beat them and avenge those losses. That's the fan perspective. But yeah, you want to line up the best matchups, and Maryland is the best matchup for tomorrow when you're looking at it from that perspective. But there also are games today. So let's go through them. Let's talk about these games today. We'll start with that Michigan State-Maryland game. I've got a lot of people asking me who I think is going to win the game. I think Michigan State is going to win the game. Do you guys disagree?
Well, I mean, it's an 8-9 game, so it's pretty much a toss-up. I mean, I feel like if Maryland hits a reasonable number of threes, that they will win. And unless Michigan State is as hot as they've been from on long twos. So if you look at their last, I think, 8 or 9 games now, if they shoot 50% on mid-range twos, they win. And if they don't, they lose. So whether those shots are dropping is pretty much it.
Yeah, I think Michigan State will win. I think they're probably a better team than Maryland. And they're playing reason. As I said last week, the last couple of weeks, Michigan State is closer to their capacities or their abilities than they were for most of the season. So I think they'll probably win this game.
I think we all have to give Tom Izzo credit for the end of the season coaching job he did here. He realized what his team needed, which was to get Foster Lawyer injured. And once that guy was out of the way, he actually was forced to kind of play his best players together. And, you know, he's putting Bingham in there more and getting and using his defense to actually get, you know, instead of just throwing Kithier against guys. But, like, State can match up well against Maryland. Like, their problem is that they just can't. They have no post control unless they're playing Bingham, who gets, you know, with his own issues. So, I think that, like, State just matches up well against Maryland. And I would imagine that they can, they'll do fine against this one because they're a better team than they were last time they played them.
Maryland just blasted them by 18. Like, I don't know what, like
in the middle of like their
but that game,
run. Yeah.
The responses I got from my Maryland friends after that game or during that game was, this is the least talented Michigan State team I've ever seen, or the least talented Izzo team I've ever seen, and things like that. And maybe it's true, maybe it's not really sure, but that was a horrific performance by Michigan State. I expected to play better in this game than they played in that one. Kind of an aside real quick before we go to the next game, I don't pay super close attention to the recruiting rankings like Sam does, obviously. You guys do. Was Matty Sissoko really ranked higher than Hunter Dickinson?
Yeah.
I read that somewhere. How?
Well, he's very big and athletic, and on many teams other than Michigan State, they would have given him playing time over Thomas Kithier.
I don't see like Hunter's got this really refined offensive game. I see Sissoko as a physical, like a Kofi, a physical presence, but no, but the offense to not go with it. So I'm just,
well, have you seen Cliff Omoruyi play this year for Rutgers?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
I think that he, like, if he actually got some run, he would feel like that. So Omoruyi is not an offensive presence at all, but he is really good on defense.
Okay.
He's bouncy. He's just like a guy who could be a really good defensive center right now. And then you hope the offense comes along. And I think Sissoko is kind of in the same vein.
Just floored me because they just seem so far apart in ability at the moment. And maybe that's just Juwan versus Izzo at this point.
Well, I mean, it's clear that the rankings were incorrect on those two guys, but that's like the rationale that I think the recruiting services had.
Yeah, Sissoko has a ceiling. I mean, it's just maybe a few years away.
When they rank centers in those things, there are a lot of times they're just looking at that athleticism, looking at their ability to play defense. Because they feel like kind of the rest can be taught a little bit. And also, remember Hunter Dickinson, we thought he was going to be John Teske in 4 years from now. We didn't think he was going to just like show up and be better than John Teske immediately.
Well, I mean, he was always going to be a guy who was more of a threat to actually live in the post and do well there. I think the thing that really surprised about Dickinson is his defense. Because if you look back at his year, like, he crushed Trevion Williams. He crushed Luka Garza. He crushed Trace Jackson Davis. You know, Kofi had an okay game against him, but you know, a couple of those buckets were not against him. And if like the only guys who have really been able to do anything against him are Stretch. So Liddell hit some threes on him, but like when they got posted, it just wasn't a thing. So they've they've been able to single the post all year, and that even against like the top end bigs in college basketball, because they're all in the Big Ten. And then that's the thing that really stands out as a surprise to me.
All right, guys, we have other Big Ten games to look at, and obviously projecting the rest of the Big Ten tournament and looking ahead as well. We're going to do that on the other side of the break. We're going to take our on radio break. We're going to stay live on Ticket TV. You're listening to the Michigan Insider and the MGo Blog Roundtable here on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, the Ticket.
I have a question. I mean, and Big Ten is the best conference in the country. I mean, how do we know that this year?
Well, I mean, there was like enough non-conference play to get an idea.
There wasn't much. I mean, you got Michigan State beating Duke. Iowa lost to Gonzaga 99-88. But
well, I think didn't they win the challenge pretty easily, if I remember correctly?
Who's that?
The Big Ten ACC challenge.
Yeah, they did win the Big Ten ACC challenge. That's correct. Yeah,
so, State beat Duke.
Well, I mean, and that does everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and like actually, I mean, Michigan's non-conference schedule didn't look like a whole lot, but like Toledo, there's some like top 100 teams in there.
Yeah, Toledo's good. I mean, I think last time I looked, they were like 52 or 53. They had worked their way up.
Like at some point, they like the KenPom rankings for the conference were like the highest in the history of KenPom, and I don't necessarily buy that because I think that when you have fewer games, you're more prone to get some extreme results, and that feels like an extreme result based on a limited number of non-conference games. But
yeah, but that's what you got.
Yeah,
I mean, you don't have a lot of data, and that's why I'm not so sure. Everyone assumes that the Big Ten is the best conference, but I don't know.
I mean, like, who's the competition though? The Big 12.
Big 12.
But that's it, though, right? Like,
probably right.
You could make an argument between those two conferences, but other than that,
it's got to the Big 12 has got to be the only real competition. I mean,
well, and then the Big 12 has some just absolutely hideous teams in it. So, I mean, let me look this up. Yeah, TCU is 137th, Kansas State is 167th, and Iowa State is 178 in KenPom.
So we're like Nebraska and Northwestern.
So no, because like
no, they're better than that.
That's what I'm saying. So where are they? Just to give where are they? Yeah, where are they? Just to give the comparison.
So Nebraska is the worst team in the conference at 93.
Yeah. So there's your
Northwestern 70, Minnesota 60, Michigan State is 55. Everybody else is top 40.
Yeah, it's it's not the best. It's pretty darn elite.
Iowa State is 2-22 this year. Like, there is nothing like that in the Big Ten.
What happened to prom, man? Wow.
I don't know. They're a 10-team conference, and three of their teams are much worse than Nebraska. So I think that is the separating factor. Like, the top end is probably pretty close, but there's no comparison between the bottom ends.
Yeah.
Also, is Cleveland has just win over Loyola Chicago this year?
Yeah. So I see Loyola Chicago on the 8-9 line, which seems somewhat wrong to me, doesn't it? I mean, they're in the top 15, I believe, in KenPom.
They're ninth.
Nine?
Yeah.
And so how the hell, I mean, everyone has, all the prognosticators of college basketball have them sitting at eight or nine seed. Which seems
They didn't really beat anybody. I mean, they have Drake in their conference, and they went 2-1 against Drake. But like their only power conference non-conference game was a 14-point loss to Wisconsin. So they've really beat up on their conference. But especially in a year where there's not that much connectivity between the conferences, I kind of feel like it's
maybe it's right. I don't know.
Oh, they're getting the Colgate treatment.
Krautwig is still there, isn't he?
He's
Michigan.
He's number three in the KenPom Player of the Year. He's number three. It's Luca Garza and the guy from Gonzaga.
Miz, how long till radio?
About 30 seconds.
All right. And so yes, you answer your text. The answer is yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So in the end, we'll end up playing them again and have to watch more Sister Jean.
Probably, yes.
I mean, she's vaccinated or something.
I got it. I might have to go check the door just a sec. Okay.
Might be a Sister Jean cam with TV will find a way to just milk that up if they need to.
They're talking about getting her vaccinated and making sure she's or they'll put her on a, you know, they'll zoom her in and just put her in a corner of the screen.
There's no way we're not going to see Sister Jean in this tournament.
They'll put her in a bubble, her own little bubble. I don't know. Yeah. But anyways, coming back on radio, guys, in 5, 4, 3.
Welcome back to the Michigan Insider here on Sports Talk 1050, WTK The Ticket, online at WTKA.com. MGoBlog Roundtable with Brian Cook, Seth Fisher, Craig Ross, as we continue to roll along. And guys, we're talking about the Big Ten tournament. We talked about the Michigan State-Maryland game that's today. But as we move forward, you've got Ohio State-Minnesota, you've got Rutgers-Indiana, and you have Wisconsin-Penn State. When I look at it, I think the only game that's even intriguing for the rest of the day after the Michigan State-Maryland game is that Rutgers-Indiana game. Rutgers seems to have been falling off a cliff, and Indiana is holding on for dear life.
I wouldn't say that Indiana is holding on for dear life. I think Indiana has
trying to claw back in.
I mean, they'd have to win the Big Ten tournament to even get in the conversation. I mean, they'd get an auto bid, but they've lost five straight, right?
Yeah, it's the closing stretch. Or let me rephrase: Archie Miller holding on for dear life, thanks to his $10 million buyout. Is that probably a better scenario? But Rutgers hasn't played that well down the stretch either.
Well, no, but they've kind of found a little bit of something more than Indiana. So, you know, you lose to Iowa and Michigan, that's not too bad. Losing to Nebraska by 19, not great. Yeah. But they're just, you know, they are a 500 Big Ten team and they play like it. So it's like, can Ron Harper hit some threes? He had that like 0-of-22 streak. Is Armon Franklin going to play for Indiana? Do people know that?
I haven't checked on that yet.
Would you? I mean,
opt out.
I mean,
what does your weekend look like? Because the games today, you know, obviously lead into tomorrow with the top four seeds joining the fold, and that's when the games really, when everyone starts really paying attention. What does your weekend look like, Seth? I'll start with you this time. What does your weekend look like in the Big Ten tournament if it plays out the way you think?
I mean, it's setting up for a Michigan-Illinois battle again, but you know, I think that we, you know, everyone's kind of seen each other at this point. So you kind of all know the system. We all know who can win, who cannot. I don't want to see Ohio State again. So that's, you know, that's the only game that I kind of don't want to replay.
I mean, Ohio State Purdue is going to be interesting because that's a matchup of extremely divergent centers, right? You've got Liddell versus Trevion Williams and Zach Edey. So that, like, if Liddell's hitting threes, nobody's going to be able to contest that. And also, like, how on earth are they going to survive that kind of onslaught on the inside? I mean, the game they played during the regular season was extremely tight. So those guys kind of canceled each other out. but that was also a game where you got, like, it was a Dwayne Washington game, right? So he goes 6-of-9 from three on a bunch of tough ones. So, like, he can do that, right? He's one of the best good at bad shots guys in the league. And I think he'll probably have to have an efficient game for Ohio State to come away with a win in a hypothetical 5-4 matchup.
Yeah, I like Rutgers in their game. I think it's a close game, but I like Rutgers. I think they're a better basketball team. I think they're better coach. I like Purdue against Ohio State because I think the referees are likely to let things go a little bit, or more likely to let things go a little bit. And I think that favors Trevion Williams and Edie on the inside, and the fact that Purdue is a pretty physical team. So those two teams I do like. I like Michigan over Maryland if that's what happens. I think Michigan State's a toss-up if Eli isn't playing. So
Purdue's been playing pretty hot lately, but they had an easier end of the schedule, but they also passed Ohio State in the process. So maybe OSU's a little bit mad. I know the 4-5 matchup doesn't really matter, but, you know, that's Ohio State kind of ended up a lot lower in the conference than we thought they would after being in contention all year, and part of that was Purdue coming back at the end.
So what's your guys' decision on where you – if not knowing the level of the injury, what's your point of if you do or do not play Eli this weekend? What's your – is there a breaking point of, like, how he feels?
I mean, if he's not 100%, I'm not playing him.
Just focus on the NCAA for that point?
Yeah, I mean, like, if there's any chance that you know, Michigan's locked in on the one line, right? So this is not real. I mean, I'd love to win a tournament, but, you know.
I agree with you. If he's at 100%, I agree. I was just curious if you guys had a different opinion. That, to me, if you have to rest him until the second game of the tournament, you can always do that because a 116 game, it shouldn't come into play. But I agree. I want him 100%. As much as I want to win the Big Ten tournament, as much as I want to see Illinois on Sunday and beat him, health is, for the NCAA, seems to be of the biggest importance.
Do we know anything about Franz? Because he limped off at the last shot.
Yeah.
And he was at media avail yesterday, and nobody asked him about anything. No one said anything. So I can't imagine there is anything to it, because if there was something to it, somebody would have asked him, or it would have been asked somewhere along the way. So I don't think there's anything to it. I know he limped off, but you know, for a moment, but I don't think there's anything to it. If there was, don't you think we all would have heard something at this point?
Yeah, no noise about that at all in the press conferences. So I'm guessing he's okay. You know, I have a slightly different feeling because I played a lot of basketball, not competently, on sprained ankles, and they tend not to get worse. And so if you're 90%, 85-90% on it, you can play, and it isn't going to be any worse. Unless he really has a serious, unless it's a high ankle sprain or something like that. So, you know, if he's close to being there, play him. And if not, if he really just hasn't healed, well, obviously not. But sprained ankles are weird. They can hurt. You can play on them and you're fine. Or they can be awful and you can't move at all. So just depends on where he's at.
I'm with Brian on this one. Like you said, like we're locked in on a one seed, and location's not going to matter this year because we're all in Indianapolis anyway. So, like, you don't have anything really to win except for unless you go ahead and beat Illinois and avenge that loss or something. So, like, what do you have to gain if he's not 100%? Now, if he's out there, like, great, right? That means he's fine. But I don't think you need him necessarily to beat Michigan State or Maryland, and then you got another couple of days to figure out where you are.
All right, fellas, I'll go ahead, Craig.
I just have a question because Brian says we're locked in on the one line. Do you guys all agree with that? I haven't looked at the rankings enough to see who might pass Michigan if, say, Michigan loses in their first
game. It would take a lot because everyone below them has multiple more losses. Illinois is already on the one line, so if Illinois is the team that wins the Big Ten,
that doesn't matter.
I think there's some fluctuation maybe on where on the one line they are, but I don't think they can fall to the two line. I just think that would be extreme.
Okay. The current twos on the bracket matrix are Iowa, Ohio State, Alabama, and Houston. I don't think Houston has enough upward mobility just because they play in the AAC. Like maybe Alabama wins the SEC tournament title and Michigan goes out in the first round, and that would be enough. But I don't think there's any way that you could see Iowa or Ohio State move past Michigan given the extreme gap between their conference records, right? Like there's Michigan is going to be above them in conference winning percentage, no matter what happens in the tournament, even if you include the tournament games. So like maybe there's an outside shot, but they're locked in my opinion.
Okay.
All right, guys, we're going to shift away from, one more question on basketball. Cause Sam would be very angry with me if I didn't get you on the record with a prediction of who's going to win it. So I'll ask you for a, if Eli plays prediction and an if Eli does not play prediction in case that does impact. Craig, give us your prediction on the Big Ten.
I just had a phone call come in, so I lost the question. I'm sorry, Ira.
Prediction. Give me a prediction. If Eli plays and if Eli does not play, if that makes a difference to you.
It makes a difference. If Eli plays, I think Michigan will win the Big Ten. If they don't, they won't.
Seth?
I still think Illinois. I mean, what they figured out against Michigan is kind of hard to come back from, and then you add AO to that too. I like Illinois in the Big Ten tournament, but I like Michigan in the NCAAs.
Brian?
Iowa. Always Iowa.
All right, guys. A couple other things, because there are obviously other things going on, including Michigan getting ready for the Big Ten postseason in hockey. And Brian, I talked about this with Mike this morning, so I need you to jump back into this conversation. Give us your floor and your ceiling for seeding for Michigan in the hockey tournament in the NCAAs. Is the floor not in, or is there a floor? Is the floor at this point, are they in? What do you think of the floor and ceilings?
So I think that there is almost no way that they're not in. So if you look at it, you know, there's the Atlantic Hockey, which is traditionally a one-bid conference. They will be a one-bid conference this year and almost certain. And then the ECAC, the Ivies aren't playing, so there's only four teams in that league. So, like, maximum two of those get in, right? If that happens, there's four conferences for 13 or 14 spots. So the chances that the Big Ten doesn't get three spots are extremely remote. And there's no question that Michigan is the third bid from the Big Ten. So I would feel like there's a slight possibility they could be on the four line. There's a slight possibility they could be on the two line. I think they'll probably be a three.
All right, because Mike was concerned because of the pairwise number, but as we discussed, the pairwise, I mean, doesn't really work this year.
I mean, the only thing that could screw it up is that the NCAA Hockey Committee is the dumbest collection of people on the planet.
So there's still a chance, is what you're saying.
Well, I mean,
you said never, NCAA and dumb. I mean, it, you know,
it never attributes to malice what can be attributed to the NCAA Hockey Committee.
Well, I mean, Michigan is 4-4 against Wisconsin and Minnesota. And my guess is those two teams are the lock of all time locks to be in the NCAA. And in fact, if anyone was looking at it, you'd notice that against Minnesota, we had our top five scorers out in the first series. So really, in some context, we're 4-2 against those two teams.
Well, Minnesota was also missing some defensemen. Yeah, so it's
Yeah, but they just replaced those guys. Michigan was like starting LaPointe on their first line.
In any event, whether you call it 4-4 or something else, it's hard for me to see how Michigan won't be in the tournament. Where they're going to sit on seeding, that one, you know, probably depends on how the Big Ten hockey tournament goes.
In any scenario that involves competent people making this decision based off of hockey, Michigan's in. Now, we still have to leave a lot of room for incompetent people who've never seen a hockey game in their life making decisions based off of whatever, and that's basically the area where Michigan could not get in, which is not nothing, because this, as Brian mentioned, it's the NCAA hockey tournament.
I think it's pretty close to nothing. I just don't see a way that you could put a team in the tournament that's not Michigan and have that not be a farcical reduction in the actual competitiveness of what you're putting out.
Yeah, that's the way it looks to me. I mean, they've been in the top 10, you know, top 12 almost all year. They seem like they still fit in that range. So I just wanted, because Mike talked about it in a much more dire way, and I know you and I, we've talked about it here, and it didn't seem as dire with you. And so your explanation seems to make much more sense.
Go ahead, Brian.
College Hockey News went through a whole bracketology exercise, and you know, Michigan was one of the teams that was a lock, and they were actually a 2 seed on the bracket that they put out. Now, I don't know how much that means, but these guys are very plugged in. This is a very kind of cliquish, clubby kind of sport. So I have to imagine that there were some conversations that had been had behind the scenes there. So, yeah, I don't. If you just look at the pairwise, Michigan is hypothetically in trouble, but that would be idiotic to do, because there's literally no connectivity between the Big Ten and anyone other than Arizona State. So,
right. And college, you have to assume College Hockey News has some, you know, has its ear to the ground from context. And they call the pairwise, quote, essentially meaningless this year.
The only thing it's meaningful for is determining, like, in the Big Ten. Right. Like, you could do a pairwise in the Big Ten to see, like, if you're taking three Big Ten teams, which three they are. But, like, nationally, it means nothing.
So I don't think the pairwise is something to be worried about. I think Michigan is almost certainly 99% plus in the NCAA tournament. Where they're seated, I have no idea what they're going to do. But I think that will depend upon to some extent on what the
they could make this much simpler. They could win 3 games in South Bend.
They start winning some games, and you know, they beat Ohio State and go forward. It'll, you know, makes it easier.
I have more confidence in this hockey team to beat teams in the playoffs than I do against like the bottom of the Big Ten.
Well, I mean, so if you look at the games they missed 4 games, and 2 of those were against Michigan State, the worst team in the league, and 2 of them were against Penn State, who placed 5th. So, you know, you come into this and it's like, what, they got like a 14-9-1 record, and that doesn't seem that great. But, you know, if you win 3 of those games, which I think is the most likely outcome, you're looking at 17-10-1, and that looks like pretty good for the first year of having a crap ton of talent on campus.
They also look at goal differential a little bit, and Michigan's goal differential is almost exactly the same as Minnesota's.
Yeah, and they're a tick or two behind if you leave out the Arizona State games, which you probably should. But they're still like plus 26 in goal differential in league play. And they've just been crazy snake bit because, you know, they put up 9 goals on Michigan State one night and 2 the other night. And it's just like, score everything on aggregate.
Yeah, by the way, shouldn't Arizona State be invited into the Big Ten in hockey? I mean, they did come and play.
They should have let him play in the tournament this year. They shouldn't have invited him to the league. They should have let him play in the tournament this year.
Absolutely. They should. I mean, they should have said, hey, play in the tournament. And shouldn't they be in the league next year? I mean.
No, I mean, there's better geographical fits for them, I think.
But they don't have hockey teams.
No. But like there's teams in Colorado and stuff that would be less of a burden to travel to. Yeah. Like, I mean, the Big Ten's in a spot here where if they add an eighth team and they play four games against each team, that's 28 games, and that only leaves you six non-conference games. So, you know, that's a consideration. So now you have a fairly healthy ability to interact with other conferences, and that would be just three series, which is that was the case in the kind of later days of the CCHA, and that always felt like not enough to me.
And that goes back to the conversation we're having. That would impact the pairwise in future years, right? Because if you're only playing those three crossover series, you know, throughout the conference as opposed to four of them, right?
It'd be five.
Five, right. So it'd impact the conference by, that's a big impact on the pairwise.
Smaller numbers, the quality of your conference might be a little bit obscured by some results that don't go your way. The more non-conference games you have, the more likely the intra-conference pairwise is actually going to be accurate. So there's, you know, you wouldn't have buys at bad times. There's arguments for and against, but Arizona State is a tough fit just because you wouldn't be able to do any kind of like home and home stuff or opponents.
Yeah, the geography is really tough.
Or the state of Michigan tournament that I'm still banging the drums for.
Oh, yeah. I wrote that up on the blog many years ago, and I think it would be awesome. So
just Kurt says leave room for Illinois hockey. There's a rivalry there. I mean, their AD could probably wind them their way into having a hockey team because they're really good at that. So.
Are you not aware that they are in the planning stages?
So have they gotten like the money like that Penn State got? Because Penn State got that cut, and that's how it's easy to build a program, right? So does Illinois have – I know they're in the process. I've talked to my guy down in Illinois, and I know they've been talking about this for years, and the process has been going on, but it's been a long process.
Yeah.
And I don't know when it's going to actually come to fruition because not everybody gets money like Penn State got to build an arena and build a program in a couple of years.
The last I heard is they're looking into whether they can claim the championship in hockey this year.
That's what I was thinking. They're putting a hockey banner up this year.
Well done, guys. You're still in roast mode there, Seth, so we appreciate that.
I have a bunch of jokes that I
When will you get out of roast mode?
Never out of roast mode.
It's going to be 3 years from now, and he's going to be like, how about those Sklar brothers? Aren't they short?
I can't use that joke. Never out of roast mode. To answer a couple of the questions that were thrown out there this morning while we're on here, Scott asked about spring game for football. There's been nothing about a spring game, but today is practice number 8. Saturday is practice number 9. And from what I've been told, they're going to take about a 2-week break, not like a COVID break, but more of a reassessment, coach time, you know, coaching, working together kind of deal, reevaluate, and then have the final 6 practices of the spring coming up 2 weeks from now. They got a waiver for that. So that's pretty much all I have on football at the moment. Not a lot's really coming out. Yeah, Brian, you haven't heard of
nothing. Yeah, you've been told something? No. Like, I'm surprised you've learned anything out of this thing.
All I got are logistics, Seth. Literally logistics. Practice number 8 is today. Practice number 9 is scheduled for Saturday. And this is all still tentative, but it was tentative to take this 2-week break to allow the coaches to, you know, convene without practices to talk about things and do that kind of stuff. So
yeah, I'm hoping to find out what the defensive positions are called. That's where I'm at right now.
Okay, so you want names of the defensive positions.
Yes.
All right, we'll work on that. We'll work on that one for you. All right, also today, because some people want to mention, yes, coming up at around 1:30, give or take, the women play against Northwestern. So hopefully the women will be able to pick up a win over Northwestern today instead of a matchup more likely against Maryland tomorrow. That'll be a tough one. The women will play in Indy, and whenever they're done in Indy, they will come back to Ann Arbor and then fly to San Antonio. Obviously, the men are leaving for Indy today, and then they will just stay in Indy hopefully until the Tuesday after first full Tuesday in April would be a really good day to come back from Indianapolis if you're the Michigan men's basketball team. You guys agree about that? That's pretty good travel itinerary.
Yeah.
Travel? I haven't traveled in so long, I don't even know anything about it anymore. I think you take planes.
We're not worried about bid stealing because we're not in that bubble territory. Maybe we should watch all the bid stealers to win so we can see maybe Michigan State get knocked off the bubble. But is there anything else to watch this, like other big potential interesting things that you're paying attention to?
Well, Bart Torvik has Duke as the first team out. So you got to root against Duke because it would be really funny if they missed the tournament. So
it'd be so tough to root against Duke. I better clear my schedule out to do that, man.
But if Duke is the first team out and they steal a bid, couldn't they steal Michigan State's bid?
Well, so T-Rank has Michigan State as a last four bye team. So the chance they actually miss is extremely remote. I am sorry.
So go Terps, embarrass Maryland, embarrass Michigan State today, and that would add to this conversation. I don't think any of this is going to actually happen.
No, just let it go, guys. It's not going to happen.
Well, guys, appreciate it. Great stuff as always. And next week when we talk, we're going to be talking brackets. Hopefully, maybe a Big Ten championship. That'd be fun too. But brackets, and that's always
another
fun.
Another one.
Yeah, a much bigger bracket. We're looking forward to that one because we did not have this conversation all last year. We missed it, and so it's fun to have these conversations back. Craig, Brian, Seth, thank you very much. Miz, my man, thank you very much as well. Appreciate you joining us, and everybody for listening to the Michigan Insider here on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA Ann Arbor, a Cumulus station.